You can have a seat.
I had to get my own table. Bear with me. Normally, I've got an awesome person serving that does that. Very thankful for those people. I also need to start, just hold on a second, got to start my own timer. Normally, there's a TV right here, and one of our production team members starts a timer. Trust me, you do not want me preaching without a timer. So let me get that going. Okay. Now, let me change that to more time. Somebody said amen. Later today, the Kansas City Chiefs are playing the 49ers in the Super Bowl, the biggest game of the year. And if you know anything about football, you know the most important position on the team is what? The quarterback. Somebody in first service said Taylor Swift, which it's the quarterback. It's why they get paid the most money and why they are under the most scrutiny. And the Chiefs happen to have, as their quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, who many people are starting to wonder if he will surpass Tom Brady as the GOAT in football. So imagine today the Chiefs come out on their first offensive possession, and in all 11 positions, they line up 11 quarterbacks. How's that going to work? At least we probably wouldn't have to hear about Taylor Swift so much. That's all I'm saying. Because the post-game commentary would be all about this weird game plan. Like, that's not going to work. You can't play 11 quarterbacks and win the game. Or what if the Chiefs have all the players on the field, but just one of them decides he's not going to participate? Patrick Mahomes calls a play in the huddle. It's a play designed to go to Travis Kelce, their star tight end, and they snap the ball, but Kelce just stands there. Or the offensive line doesn't protect, doesn't block. Or they just play like the Lions did in the second half 2 weeks ago. Now, come on, that was funnier than you gave me. Or what if the long snapper doesn't snap the ball, or the holder doesn't hold the ball, the kicker doesn't kick the ball? Like, how many games have been lost by just the kicker? I don't care how good any one player is. If even one seemingly insignificant player doesn't participate, it could change the entire outlook of the game. And the same thing is true in the church. No matter how insignificant we might believe a position is in the church, when it's gone, it can make the biggest difference in the world, which I think we're seeing today with a service-long sermon illustration, a day that we as a staff have been planning literally for months now, and we have been excited and anxious about today, calling today No-Show Sunday. A day where we have asked all the people who serve to not show up and serve today. We're in a sermon series called Into the Deep. And I once heard a pastor say this, it's always stuck with me. He said, you are only as deep as the last person or place you served. You're only as deep as the last person or place you served. Jesus served. So if we're going to follow him, that means we serve as well. And one of the places Scripture calls us to serve is in the church, the body of Christ. Now, if you're here with us and you are not a follower of Jesus, we have no expectation for you, none. We love you, and we love it that you are here, whether you ever believe what we do about Jesus, and whether you ever serve a second in this church, you are welcome here, and we love you. And for those who are new, you're checking out the Harbor, you just happen to come on this Sunday, no expectation for you either. But if you're a follower of Jesus, and you end up finding a church home, whether it's this one or another one, I would challenge you that when you find that church home, that you step up and serve, because that's what we are called to do. You can't be a disciple of Jesus and not serve, because at the core of who Jesus was, he served. Ultimately, my hope for today is twofold. First of all, I hope that today we show our amazing serve team members just how important you are to what we do. And you are important. And I think we should honor all those people who serve on a regular basis. I think we should do that. You guys are amazing. You're amazing. And we can offer a worship service without you, but it's not the same. We can't do it for this large of a scale, and we can't do it for very long unless you're a part of the team. Unless you're a part of the team. Like, you are incredibly significant to what we do here. And I hope that's shown to you today in a visible, tangible way. Like, thank you so much for taking your faith seriously enough that you invest your valuable time and talent to serve God and his people here at the church. Like, serving matters. That's one of our core values, serving matters. That followers of Jesus should use their God-given gifts to strengthen and build up the church and others through their serving. So thank you again for what you are doing. In 27 years of full-time ministry, I have regularly heard people say things like this: well, I just serve in kids ministry. I just help make coffee. I just serve in the park. I'm just a small group leader. Can I just tell all of you faithful people that serve, you are not just anything. You are as important as anyone else. There is no insignificant position in the church. So thank you for what you do. Serving matters. I also, though, here's the second thing I hope for, is to inspire and challenge some Christians today who call the Harbor their home to seriously consider what it would mean for them to step up and serve on a team. And Sunday morning isn't the only place that we have people serving. We have amazing people serving as small group leaders, as women's Bible study table leaders, in student ministry, on the prayer team, and so many other places who regularly serve God with their time and with their talent. And don't worry, we're not having all the small group leaders not show up to their groups this week. Everybody's gonna be in place this week. It's just today we're doing this, okay? We truly do believe that every person serving, whether it's on the platform or in the parking lot, has no more value than another. That not every place to serve is for every person, but for every person, there is a place to serve. Because serving matters. So here's the big question we've got to answer today. How can I know that my serving matters? How can I know that my serving matters? And we're gonna look at our main scripture, Acts 6, 1 through 7. And again, we would normally have it all on the screens. We don't have anything on the screens today, but we do have all the scriptures, all the sermon points in the Harbor app, as always. And so if you wanna download the Harbor app, you can do that right now. Go to the message notes section, and you can follow along in there for all the scriptures and sermon points. If you wanna use your own Bible, that's fantastic as well. I'm gonna read all of our main scripture. I'm gonna make a few comments on the way, and then I'm gonna break it down. Chicka, chicka, break it down. My inner rapper's coming out, inspired by my small group leader who also has an inner rapper inside of him. And so I haven't done that in a while, thought I'd do that. We're looking at three things that are true for us, just like they were true for the church in Acts. Acts 6, starting in verse 1, says this: "But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food." Well, let's just be real and honest. That sounds a lot like churches today, doesn't it? I'm not sure if this encourages me or disappoints me that not much has changed in the church in 2,000 years. This church had grown in a matter of months from 120 people to 5,000 men, not counting women and children, we are told previously. So probably 10 to 15,000 followers of Jesus in Jerusalem alone, and there were rumblings of discontent. They were complaining to one another. Verse 2. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Everyone liked this idea, which is a sure sign God was in it. Can I get an amen? Because we don't agree on anything. And they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit; Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, if you're looking for a name for a child, there's one, Nicanor; Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Serving matters. Followers of Jesus should use their God-given gifts to serve, strengthen, build up the church and others. So how do I know that my serving matters? Well, the first thing I see in our scripture here is this: that when I serve, it frees others up to serve in their strength. When I serve, it frees others up to serve in their strength. Like when you look at all the Super Bowl winners throughout the years, the greatest teams didn't always have the greatest quarterbacks, even though we say it's the most important position. The greatest teams are the one where every person did their part, freeing up others to do the same. And this is so important to understand with our main scripture. It would be easy to read Acts 6, 1 through 7 and walk away thinking the apostles were trying to get out of serving. But that's not the case. The apostles weren't opposed to running the food program themselves. They were already doing it. They were already serving in it. And they could have kept running the food program, but not only would it have not been done well, it would have kept them from doing what they were primarily called to do, and they would have kept someone else from serving in it, maybe even someone who could do it better. Like having 11 quarterbacks on the field at the same time. I think it's kind of funny that when the apostles were running the food program, people complained it wasn't good enough. But then when they released other people to lead it, the complaining stopped. Meaning it was running better without the apostles and with people in the church doing it. There are many places in the New Testament that speak to this idea of each person doing their part. Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, and others. But 1 Corinthians 12 devotes an entire chapter to this concept. I would encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 12 on your own sometime this week. We're going to look at a couple of select verses, starting with verses 4 and 5. Of 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this: "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord." Verse 7. "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." Verse 12. "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ, the church. We're many parts of one body." Now verses 19 through 22. "How strange a body would be if it had only one part." Duh. "Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary." We're seeing that today. Serving matters. That followers of Jesus should use their gifts to serve and strengthen and build up the church and others. So how can I know that my serving matters? Well, it frees others up to serve in their strength. Number two thing I see is this: it fuels the gospel to spread. That when I serve, when we serve, it fuels the gospel to spread. I think I could make an argument that the key word in all seven verses of our main scripture might be the first word of verse 7. It's the word so. The apostles handed over leadership to seven men. So God's message continued to spread and the number of believers greatly increased. It seems to at least imply that if the disciples had not divided up the ministry, if they did not start sharing the load of serving, and if people would not have done their part, the message could have possibly slowed down instead of continue to spread. That it took all of them together to accomplish all that God called them to do. That running the food program was just as important in reaching people for Jesus as the preaching was. In 1962, when NASA was trying to fulfill the vision of JFK to put a man on the moon, JFK visited NASA headquarters for the very first time to see the progress. While touring the facility, they ran across a janitor who was mopping the floors. And even though it was obvious to JFK what this guy did for NASA, being polite and inclusive, he asked him, "Sir, what is it that you do here?" And the janitor replied, "I'm helping to land a man on the moon." Come on. Yet, if you go to Johnson Space Center, which if you've never done that, go take the tour. It is incredible. I've done it multiple times. I'd never get tired of going to that thing. And you go on the tour and they show you all the rockets that got us to the moon. They show us the engineering behind it and the plan. And then you see mission control, which is like the place where they, like that is the most important place for what was happening on getting those guys onto the moon. They show the training facility. Oddly enough, on the tour, they don't show you the janitor's closet. But this dude got it. That because I'm mopping the floors, they're gonna land a man on the moon. And no matter how you serve God in this place, whether on the platform or in the parking lot, every life that is changed, every time the gospel advances, you're a part of that. You are fueling the gospel to spread through our local church right into the Bay Area. You are a part of living out the vision God's given us here to restore those who are battered, refuel the weary, and return to our lives with Jesus at the center, changing the world one life at a time. If someone were to ask you, "What do you do at the Harbor?" you could honestly say, "I am helping to change the world one life at a time." You're a part of that. You're a part of that. It's why every person in the organization of a Super Bowl winning team, all the way down to the receptionist, everyone gets a championship ring because they are all part of it together. Serving matters. Followers of Jesus should serve in areas that use their God-given gifts to strengthen and build up the church. So how can I know that my serving matters? Well, it frees others up to serve in their strength. It fuels the gospel to spread. And lastly, it finds the most unlikely of people. That when we serve and the gospel spreads, that gospel will find the most unlikely of people. It stands out to me that in verse 7, we are told, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. I mean, the Jewish priests were first in line to crucify Jesus. They hated Jesus. They hated those who followed Jesus. already in the story of Christianity in the book of Acts. They had already arrested Peter and John for preaching the word of God. And in chapter 4, they commanded all followers of Jesus to stop talking about Jesus. And now many of these same priests were converted too. I mean, the church was reaching the most unlikely of people. Not just the Jewish priests here in Acts 6, but in Acts chapter 8, the gospel reaches an Ethiopian eunuch who is on his way back to Ethiopia from Jerusalem, back to his service of the queen. And yet the gospel through Philip finds a eunuch on the side of the road. And many believe it was that Ethiopian eunuch who first took the gospel to Ethiopia. Then in Acts chapter 9, Paul puts his faith in Jesus. Paul, the guy who was the leader of a movement to wipe out Christianity from the face of the earth. He was the lead persecutor. And Paul gets saved. Then in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, a Roman centurion, he puts his faith in Jesus. This guy, a Roman soldier in charge of 100 other soldiers in Caesarea. He puts his faith in Jesus time and time and time again. All these unlikely people were reached in part because each person in the church was doing their part. What it says to me is this: when the church includes everyone in serving, it's a sign that the message is for anyone to receive. When the church includes everyone in serving, it's a sign the message is for anyone to receive. So I've got a question for all of us. You might be a part of the church, but are you doing your part? And many of you are. Like so many of you. Like I'm so impressed with the massive amount of people serving in our church. And we thank you again for your service. But for some, Christians who call the Harbor their home church, is it time for you to step up and go into the deep and join a serve team? Not only does God's church need each of us serving in it, I believe we each should be serving for the good of our own soul. Serving's good for the soul. I firmly believe we will never experience the full life Jesus has for us until we are willing to use our life to serve like Jesus did. If Jesus is our example of experiencing life to the full, it's not always just something he gives me, it's also what he does through me. One of the biggest needs we continue to have in our church, as evidenced by the room today, is in our kids' ministry. The kids have done amazing, you parents have done amazing. It is not a bother at all today. You've done awesome, and we're almost done. You're like, finally. Every Sunday in 2024, we have averaged 179 kids in kids' ministry. It's a lot of kids. Another need we have is in our student ministry. Like Pastor Justin's done a phenomenal job stepping onto our team and leading the student ministry, but we are praying for and asking God to bring us people who are passionate about seeing young people live their lives fully devoted to Jesus. Maybe that's a spot for you. And there are like tons of different places to serve. And remember, not every position to serve is for every person. That there are some positions that require a certain skill level, like the worship team, and I don't have that skill. There's some positions that require a higher level of accountability and responsibility, that we would just ask that you be aligned with us on some beliefs and some things we're pursuing in our lives, being obedient to Christ. There's some positions that just have a higher level of accountability. And when you sign up to serve, like if you fill out the form, you're not like locked in forever. You can try one place. It doesn't work, try somewhere else. And you don't have to serve every week. You definitely don't serve every service. In fact, this is what's crazy to me. If every follower of Jesus in every church was willing to serve regularly on a serve team, you wouldn't even serve every other week. Every 4 weeks or 5 weeks. If every follower of Jesus was doing their part, it would spread the load across weeks at a time. In every church, that's true. So on your way out today, or even right now if you want to, you can take the Join the Team football cards we have and scan the QR code on there. It'll take you right to our serve form. Just fill, it's super easy to fill out, and someone will be in contact with you this week. You can go to our website, theharbor.life, go to the serve page. You can sign it, do it there as well. You can, on your way, while we were meeting in here, we had staff setting up tables outside. We didn't want you to see them on the way in, so they're gonna be up on your way out. And we got some staff at some tables ready to answer questions about some of our serve teams, maybe have help you fill out the serve form on an iPad out there. We just want you to consider what it looks like to join the team. And I know what some people are thinking. You're thinking, man, but I'm so busy. I'm gonna challenge us on that. And just remind all of us that every Sunday when you arrive here and people are serving you, and every women's Bible study that you're served at, and every retreat, and every catalyst event, like every time somebody is serving, every small group leader, I promise you, none of those people serving are serving because they had nothing else to do. They're serving because they have chosen to make that a priority in their life. And adding that to their schedule before maybe adding something else. Every one of our people serving are busy, everyone. It's just, what am I gonna make a priority? And I understand there are some legitimate seasons where you will be physically, relationally, or emotionally unable to regularly serve on a serve team. By all means, take a season and allow Jesus to restore you and refuel you, but be praying for an opportunity that you'll be able to return and make a difference with your gift and your time that he's given you. I'm gonna ask you just to pause for a second and just ask Jesus, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? And perhaps you're one of our regular serve team members. I hope that you hear from Jesus, well done. You are valuable with what you do. And for those who haven't stepped into that deep part of life yet, maybe you're hearing Jesus say, it's time. It's time. Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for who you are, for serving us. You never, ever stop serving. And so for us, may we hold our lives with open hands, saying, where do you want me to serve, Jesus, in your church? We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Normally, we'd have some prayer team members, but today we got some staff filling in, and they're gonna do a great job. So we got a couple of pastors that'll be over here to my right, your left. If you have any prayer need at all that you'd like prayed for, stop over here. They'll make sure and pray for you. Last week, Lent starts on Wednesday. Last week, I preached on it. We have developed a Lent prayer and devotional guide. We have some more printed. I believe we still have some left. These aren't as cool and flashy as last week's, but we had to print them in-house real quick, and they did a great job getting these done. They're available on the side tables on your way out. If you want a paper copy of the Lent prayer guide, you can get one. They're also available on the homepage of our website, theharbor.life. I love you guys so much. Have a great week. Go Chiefs.